Like the Green Bay Packers, the Initial Reaction podcast remains undefeated. I'm J.R. Radcliffe of Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
I thought you were going to say that we were taking a week off, having a bye week, resting.
We take like 3 weeks off every other week, so I really don't think we need a bye week. We're a pretty relaxed group over here,
But we're here. My name is J.P. Gadorin from Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, an all-around good guy.
And we have Level 2 playoffs to discuss. The high school football season has hit its stride. We shed a
nice
number
cliche
of teams.
That was nice.
I do what I can. I'm surrounded by high school coaches, so it's all cliches.
How
all
are they
the time.
Approaching this next game?
They're just gonna take it like one game at a time.
Oh, okay,
and,
cool.
Because that
are
team
they
is,
focusing on the state finals?
The team is well coached. They're you know, they've got to play in the elements too.
Focusing on their next opponent.
They're just focusing on the next
That's
opponent,
good.
And
That's good.
They're gonna take tonight and celebrate, and then they're gonna come back and come
and
back
move
to
on.
Work.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good approach.
That's what every team still alive. There's 112 of them across the state of Wisconsin.
But JR, why do I never read quotes like that?
Well, you do, most likely, unless...
But they never get used, that's why.
Pretty much like covering high school sports when you're covering football, it's sort of like an extraction process.
Yep.
You get a block of quotes, and then you sort of say, okay, well, I'll take this line.
Not
that it's out
that.
Of context. It's just, this is the one line that is said that is interesting and unique to this game and this coach. The rest of it, yeah, you could use
yep.
that over and over and over.
But there are 112 teams that are still eligible to give us quotes.
That's right.
And that is all that remains.
They survived a very rainy level one.
That was wet. Where were you on Friday?
I was at Greenfield watching Union Grove stage one of the the seven number seven seeds across the state to beat a two seed.
Nice call.
And there
Good
were
prediction.
Six number three seeds that went down as well. So primarily, did I predict Union Grove would beat Greenfield?
Well, you went to that game.
Yes, I thought it would be a good game. I did think Union Grove would actually. I would have picked them to win. I thought it was going to be very close. I believe it was 27-6.
It was.
And I think the surprising thing with the rain, first of all, made for some very interesting halftime scores. Like, for example, Arrowhead was tied at half and barely won in their game. Oconomowoc was down at halftime. Lots of
Brookfield
games.
Brookfield Central, number one seed, was tied 0-0 at halftime.
0-0 well into the second
into the
half.
Fourth quarter.
Middleton in the Madison area, number two seed that I think we thought might be a pretty dangerous squad. They ended up losing to... I forget, was that Sun Prairie that got them?
Correct.
I think so. So there were some crazy outcomes. With Greenfield, in the game I saw, it was they're a running team for the most part. I mean, they don't run like a power offense or anything, but they definitely had trouble getting their footing. And it wasn't so much the passing game, which you assume is what's going to get canceled out by the rain. But for them, the way they run their offense, they could not get ahead of steam for their running back, Ezekiel Banks. Union Grove wasn't perfect either by any means. There were turnovers galore. Union Grove needed a long time to get going, but... They did pull away. They returned a kickoff for a touchdown, and that was a big play. And you know, when you get in rain games like that, it's all about like big plays. You got to
fumbles,
exactly, turnovers, defensive touchdowns, special teams. Because if you got to set up and go toe to toe with 11 guys, it's a muddy mess. You're just not going to make much progress.
And a missed tackle could lead to a big gain as well. So what do people need to know? So just tune in. So first of all, I think stories that stand out. First of all, a lot of people escaped. Number one seed Oconomowoc, three seed Arrowhead, Brookfield Central just escaped. They were a one seed as well. So I think that's point number one. Point number two, the Woodland went 1-6.
1-5.
1-5.
Yeah, not a good day for the Woodland Conference.
Not a good day. The City Conference, unfortunately, is still mired in what they're mired in, going 1-9, however many teams they got in.
And Milwaukee King defeated another City Conference
team. Yes, the only
team
that won. Now, the only team that won was Milwaukee King, and they beat Milwaukee Washington. So there is a disclaimer on that. However, King is undefeated, and last year they won a playoff game against Menominee Falls, so they are, you know, they have a chance. Well, they're in theory, they have a chance to advance and be a good city team. Problem is, they now face third-seeded Marquette, which is one of the better programs throughout the past decade or so. So if they want to advance and be the first team from the city conference to win a level two game since Riverside did it about 5 years ago, it will be a huge upset if they do.
It will be a huge upset. I happen to think Marquette is vulnerable, given that they did take a couple losses in the greater metro this year. This is definitely an opportunity for Milwaukee King to move on. It'll still be a stunner, though. There's no way to put it, no way to otherwise sugarcoat it. As the city conference entrant, even if you're undefeated, even if you do have the respect of being a very quality football team, you go up against Marquette, you're going to be seen as an underdog. I do think that matchup, though, is one of the more interesting battles that we have on the docket in Level 2. That game's obviously at King, with King being the 2 seed, the higher
obviously.
Seed. Obviously. I think that's a really interesting matchup. That and the Battle of Brookfield are the two games that I really would be like, you know, I'm just not – I really don't know how that one's going to go.
Is it the Southern Lakes Conference that had a good night?
I think
is that the name of that conference?
They're interesting, the Southern Lakes. They never get the respect they deserve in football. And there's so much. I mean, Waterford went to a state championship game.
Yep.
Badger has been to Level 4 in recent years. Wilmot is always dangerous. These teams are good every single year. And Delavan-Darien has gone to Level 4. I saw them 1 year lose out to Catholic Memorial in Division 3. Union Grove showed last Friday that they're a very capable team. And these programs are very good. Burlington has had some good teams. They're very good, and yet we don't really think of them because being surrounded by the Metro Milwaukee teams, you sort of mm-hmm. assume that those conferences are the cream of the crop.
Yep.
I heard the comparison on the radio that night or the next morning that the Southern Lakes is sort of reminiscent of the old Southeast teams, the way they run their offense and defense, just the level of quality teams that are in there, one
sure.
through eight. So they do have a tough conference. It's not the Classic Eight. It's not going to be mistaken for that, but it's still good enough to come in. And I think the Woodland sort of showed that it was not that strong this year. I mean, that was kind of evident during the regular season. And then to see Wilmot put a hurt on Greendale and Union Grove, the seventh seed, to knock off the Woodland champ Greenfield, sort of.
And then
Waterford
beat Wauwatosa West 28-0, and then Badger beat Watertown 35-9.
Yeah, some pretty one-sided defeats.
Yep, so they had a good night. And then other than that, I don't know what other huge stories stick out. I mean, just games in themselves that were entertaining. I was at the Homestead-Germantown clash.
Oh, yeah, yeah, a rematch that went completely the other way.
Yeah, because Germantown won in week 3, I want to say,
sure.
against Homestead. So they had won earlier in the season. Homestead also dropped their opener to Arrowhead. So they were, I guess that means at one point they were 1-2. But Homestead just trounced them. I mean,
yeah.
The rain was really coming down. I mean, it was quite heavy at times. But Homestead was just kind of dominant. Matt Winters had 4 touchdowns for the Highlanders. He was awesome sauce. There was a blocked punt. There was a interception return for a touchdown. I mean, it was routy, I will say that.
Yeah, and Homestead, great quote from Dave Keel that we've sort of circulated in the office, how he referred to the boutique offenses, the teams that like to pass the ball, do creative things. You get into the weather of Wisconsin, as we did Friday night when it was an absolute rain mess, and teams that try to move the ball in different ways, they can't move the ball. It comes down to being able to run the football, and sure enough.
Homestead, and they can.
They can, yeah.
They can. Winter scored from, I believe it was like 3 yards, 10 yards, 21 yards, and 54 yards on his touchdown. So.
Yeah.
He did well. The line blocked well, and defense was all over him. So it was a good performance. And now that was round one of the North Shore Conference tournament. Round two is Cedarburg against Homestead. Cedarburg knocked off Slinger 8-0. I think they scored with 2 minutes left.
Yeah,
it was the fourth quarter, but there were so many games going on, and so many of them were so close. But Cedarburg held off third seeded Slinger. So now Cedarburg travels to Homestead. For another fun rematch, huh?
Homestead defeated Cedarburg in the last week of the regular season 35-0. Homestead, like you said, they started out 2-2 after losing to Germantown in the second week of the North Shore season, and they've absolutely crushed everyone since then. They have not gotten fewer than 35 points in any one of their games. That included a battle for first place against Whitefish Bay 35-13 and against Cedarburg the 35-0 game that could have given Cedarburg, I mean, essentially also another first-place
yeah.
game. The winner got a share. And then Germantown, the team, like we said, that had beaten them earlier this year, 36-6.
And what's interesting to me is that it's not like they faced Germantown and Cedarburg right away, got 2 losses, and then ran the table against Port, Washington, Milwaukee Lutheran. I mean, they played Whitefish Bay. They played Cedarburg. So those were 2 really good teams that they dominated 70-13, you know, combined score 70-13 in those last 2 weeks.
Homestead
so.
Always finds a way to be very good this time of year.
They do.
Dave Keel's just a genius. This works out every year for Homestead. What do you think of what he said, though? Because there have been teams, Arrowhead comes to mind as a team that used to power the football. Mm-hmm. Then they went to more of a spread. They've had success with that as well. I mean, do you think in Wisconsin that the weather is a big enough deal that you really need to run the football
and
all the time?
Arrowheads where, like you had said, where they come up with different ways to move it, meaning reverses and quick bubble screens. And
lots
and,
of quarterback running.
Yeah, so I don't know. I also think of like Oconomowoc with, was it Ben Nienhuis?
Yeah, the passing game has been big for them.
So maybe that's a team that I think they're more, I think they're more vulnerable than somebody like Arrowhead, especially because Arrowhead, last week was playing without its starting quarterback and starting running back.
That's
right. That's significant. I think Duranzo was a leg injury, and Bastien, the running back, was a head injury.
Yeah, concussion, yep.
So, you know.
Both should play this week, but you know, still, they were shorthanded.
Anything to help them beat Sun Prairie, because Sun Prairie still, from 2004 sectional hockey, has still been my nemesis.
You know the Arrowhead football team is 4-0 career against Sun Prairie.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that now, and that makes me feel a lot better.
All in the playoffs, including that state final drubbing a couple years ago.
Doesn't make a... Oh, 35-0 at half?
Yeah, just that caught us by surprise. I thought Arrowhead would win. I did not think that they would eviscerate Sun Prairie.
That was Craig Evans on Sun Prairie's line, wasn't it?
And Webster, yeah. They were a really good line, and Arrowhead just had no problem. That was a crazy, crazy game.
So there we go. So I think that's a pretty good recap of round one, unless there's anything I'm missing. But moving on to what? What do you want?
I still wanted to point out that Franklin is still my favorite to win Division One. They crushed Milwaukee Bayview, and they really... Bradley Tech, sorry. That was Waukesha West that crushed Bayview. But they play Horlick, another team that they beat pretty badly in the regular season. They're probably, I still think, going to wind up in a Level 3 game with Muskego that'll be really, really compelling.
We've already circled that game as our live game of the week.
Really? Yeah, well, Oak Creek could have something to say about it. That's a good team.
Before Level 1 even happened, we said we're going to go ahead and get Franklin Muskego in the air.
That's going to be a great Southeast rematch. Muskego now in the Classic 8, but they used to play with both Oak Creek and Franklin in the Southeast. They're going to rematch with Oak Creek this week. I think that's going to be a really good, I think it'll be a good game. I still think Muskego is the better team.
I mean, Level 2 right now just isn't doing much for me.
Division 2? Or
no, Level 2.
Oh, okay,
so
overall.
This week's games, when I think of what we could have next week, I look at this week and I'm just kind of like, meh. I mean, the Brookfield Central-Brook East game should be great. But other than that, like Marquette against Milwaukee King, in theory, won't be that great of a game. Cedarbrook Homestead, in theory, won't be that great of a game.
Sure, then you've got Brookfield Central, Brookfield East, with the city bragging rights, the least of which on the line. I mean, Brookfield East is playing awesome football right now. They've got Sam Santiago-Lloyd, who's a perfect circle.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's just running over
33 carries, 330 yards,
four
touchdowns.
Yep.
Unbelievable. It was our live game of the week against Whitefish Bay. Please DVR it and watch it out there. Please watch. It is unbelievably entertaining.
He was easily our player of the week at Push for the Playoffs, located at
mycommunitynow.com/push.
I'm glad I have you trained so well.
Yeah, feels
it
awful.
Works great.
Bob Raynard, our play-by-play man extraordinaire,
yes.
I think he pointed out, so I'm going to assume somebody else pointed this out for him.
Okay.
There's no way he did the research.
hi, Bob.
Sam Santiago-Lloyd, can't speak, is the exact same weight as
Rondane.
Eddie Lacy.
Oh!
And 1 inch shorter.
Yeah, I would be afraid to be in his way.
Right?
He's a very
scary
dude. So he, clearly our player of the week, and now Brookfield East, which is clicking on every cylinder, will go up against a Central team that offensively struggled in their 1-8 game against Oshkosh North. Defense was pretty crushing. I mean, it does not sound like Central
13-0
was threatened.
Final score.
Yeah, then Malik Turner got
in
the end
zone. But
it was
0-0 in the fourth quarter,
I
believe.
Yep. So Malik Turner scored twice in the fourth quarter. So now Brookfield Central's the one seed, and they got to face Brookfield East. I picked Brookfield East to come out of this group of eight, even though there's Homestead, even though there's Brookfield Central. I just love how East is playing, and I think they're going to be in the final four.
And that was the group of death that you referred to last week, of where there are some really good teams that are going to go home. And that was true. Whitefish Bay is now done for the year.
I know. That's unfair.
Would win the conference and advance to, you know, maybe level 3 or 4, and they're done. Slinger, the third seed, had an amazing season. They're done. Germantown was a decent team, maybe not a state finalist, but, you know, they're done. In that group, there's some really good teams that lost.
I think there's some really compelling D2 matchups, not just in the Milwaukee area. I think Waukesha West Wilmot will be really interesting. I mentioned the Brookfield battle. You got Menasha, Chippewa Falls elsewhere in the state. De Pere, which survived a 1-8 matchup
with
Green
57
Bay
seconds left, I believe.
Uh-huh. They have
and they lost their running back.
I know.
Nick Uhafi?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either, but I know he was a conference player of the year candidate, so that's a tough loss. they have to go up against Menominee. I mean, D2 is really, really good. DeForest is playing really well, and they go up against Wanakee. So, I mean, I'm just really curious to see how level 2 plays out in Division 2 in particular.
Yeah, because D2 are a lot of teams that are so good, you really think of them as Division 1 programs.
Exactly,
but
I agree
because
with that.
Of enrollment, they get pushed down. Like a team like Brookfield Central, like a team like Homestead. I mean, that's a Division 1 level. Waukesha West, who actually won a Division 1 title a few years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
These are like Division 1 programs that because of enrollment get pushed down.
And remember, Division 2, you don't get the first round bye. I mean, not to call it that, but that's what a lot of D1 teams look at it when they're faced with a city conference school, a school that just doesn't have the tradition or the numbers to match other D1 schools. And D2, you've got to play a tough game in the first round. I mean, Brookfield East, as good as they're playing, played a North Shore co-champion in a 4-5 game. That doesn't happen in Division 1.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Division 3, I was surprised, and I shouldn't have been. Wisconsin Lutheran defeating
Eisenhower.
Yeah,
tell me about that game, because Wisconsin Lutheran was a 7th seed, and they beat somewhat handily New Berlin Eisenhower,
yeah,
the second
season. They scored a couple times late to make that game a decent spread. I believe it was, I think it was Eisenhower up 7-6 at the turn. I'm not positive. But Wisco's just, they're just Wisco.
So why were they a 7 seed?
Well, because they didn't have a very good year on paper. I mean, they went 4-3 in conference. They lost to Slinger, to Watertown, and to Oconomowoc in Little 10 play. And Wisconsin Little 10, I think, maybe unfairly gets thought of as a lesser conference, but it's not the Classic 8. I mean, only Oconomowoc is still standing in the playoffs, aside from Wisco, and Oconomowoc had to work for it in a 1-8 game. So they go 4-3 in conference. They lose outside of conference to Marquette, which there's no shame there, but they just aren't where they typically have been. They got a new coach whose son was going to be one of the best returning players. Their other best returning player, Terrence Ward, was injured early in the year. So Wisconsin Lutheran just had to piece it together. They still have a great defensive line, and I think New Berlin Eisenhower had a really good year. So to hold them to 7 points is pretty impressive in the first round. They're still a dangerous team at this point in the year, no matter what their seed says.
So Classic 8 went 4-0, so they got 4 teams in, and they all won.
Catholic Memorial just destroyed Cudahy.
What else?
Cudahy had like 30-some yards, and Catholic Memorial had 330-some.
44-0, is that the final?
That was the final,
there
yeah. But go. Now they have to face an undefeated team in Evansville, Albany, which beat Pewaukee in the first round 14-0. That's a pretty tough corridor of the bracket, too, because Kewaskum is the one seed, would be awaiting the winner if they can beat Whitnall. Kewaskum's also undefeated. And they've got that Brandon Thull, one of the top running back by yardage total in the state, not to mention a viral sensation after his crazy run for a touchdown earlier this year, wound up on that Sports Center among
other
places.
And then if you beat Kewaskum, you get Monona Grove, who features Torin Young,
also undefeated,
who might be the state player of the year.
Got to stop those running backs, don't you? You'd have to face, I think, if you made a list of the 5 best running backs in the state, Catholic Memorial will unquestionably run into 2 of them in the next 2 rounds, assuming seeds hold into the, you know, well, not assuming seeds hold, because if they did, CMH would lose to Kewaskum. But
yeah,
if they're facing the 1 seeds in the next 2 rounds, they would face 2 of the best.
There you go.
So I still think Catholic Memorial is going to find its way to the state championship game.
Really?
I do. I still believe it, but we shall certainly see.
You just want to be right. You just want your prediction from, like, September 10th to be right.
Is there anything wrong with that? I feel like I should want to be that way.
You can root for yourself. That's fine. Nobody else roots for you, so.
CMH, I'll say, if you go back and look at their history, when they get bounced in the playoffs, D3, D4, they're some of the craziest, close, final-second scoring games you've ever seen. They lost a very controversial one against eventual state champion Monona Grove a little while back. They lost on a last-second touchdown to Reedsburg. Reedsburg went on to win the state title a while back. I mean, they've had some real heartbreakers in there, too.
But you're a heartbreaker.
I am a heartbreaker. What about at the lower levels? Anything that strike your fancy?
No. Catholic Central won and Lake Country Lutheran won. So
that's true.
Kenosha St. Joe's lost.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I saw them week 9 against Catholic Central, and really they got kind of blown out. But they still had a 2 seed, and they ended up losing their
in overtime. 7-0 in overtime. Yeah. That's a rain game right there.
St. Cap.
Yep, so St. Catharines rises up, beats their conference foe in the first round. That's one of the, as I mentioned, one of the 7 2 seeds to have lost in the first round.
Yeah, and then there's Cedar Grove Belgium facing off against number 5 Shoreland Lutheran. That is a game that I might go to. That's
on the docket
because
we
want to try and avoid going to the same teams all the time through the playoffs, so trying to spread the love a little bit.
I believe I will be checking out Waukesha West against Wilmot. I want to see if that Southern Lakes train can keep rolling against some conference other than the Woodlands.
Against what you predicted as another state finalist.
Yeah, and it's going to be a much tougher road for Waukesha West, mainly because Wanakee is standing there. But I do believe Waukesha West can go to the state championship game, yes.
You are a homer.
I'm not a homer. I'm not from any of these communities. I just think the Classic 8 is unbelievable.
How did the Galloping Ghosts do this year?
They did not make the playoffs.
They did not.
I'm not entirely sure that they made the playoffs.
I went there before the season to try and do a little preview of an up-and-coming team, and I think they won 3 games.
Yeah, so they weren't that. If they're up and coming, they're up and coming later, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Still to come, I believe, is
the good news for them is that they're building all new facilities. They're playing one more game at the old field. It's not their game, but there's a playoff game that's going to be hosted there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bayorgin Field, one of my many, many fun memories watching
what
football.
What was that
word? Bayorgin Field.
Did you just make that up?
I did not. That is actually the name of their field.
I'm going to say you made it up.
I didn't, but they are going to they have not been to the playoffs since 2008. I graduated in 2004, and they made the playoffs my senior year, and that was fun. They lost immediately. And, man, they have not done well. Poor Kakana. Poor Kakana.
Poor Kakana.
What about the rest of the sports world, JP? There is some action going on in Milwaukee on Wednesday night as we're recording this. There's something coming up.
We are beginning the process of owning the future once again.
We are.
The Milwaukee Bucks are going up against Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis this evening. And that's about it. I mean, I think we could throw around some predictions and talk about what's going on this season, but nothing has necessarily changed from the last 4 months. I mean, you don't know what people are going to do. Is Michael Carter-Williams going to progress and be the answer for this team at point guard, or was getting rid of Brandon Knight a mistake? Is Chris Middleton going to be worth that money, or is he just basically playing
John Selmans?
Or was he just playing in a contract year? Is Giannis going to be even bigger and better? The answer is yes. Or is he going to regress? Jabari Parker, apparently he's sitting out to start the season. Is he going to come back and be healthy, or is this going to be a long, drawn-out process with a kid with just a ton of potential and maybe doesn't put together? Does Greg Monroe, is he a defensive liability? These are the questions.
You have a lot of questions.
Well, there aren't any answers right now. They haven't played any games. So tonight will be our first tested getting an answer.
I didn't listen to most of what you just said, but I will say if Greg Monroe is a defensive liability, I would say it's not like last year's team had a great rim protector. I mean, John Henson, when he's on the floor, is a good defensive player, but he doesn't play a lot. And that's the thing about the Jason Kidd system is everybody gets on the floor. Sometimes
and
you scratch your head.
Defend.
Right. Sometimes you scratch your head why certain players are on the floor, but he makes such great use of his entire roster that there isn't one person that has to be anything. Now, somebody threw out the idea on the radio if the big
on
four
the radio
on
dial?
The radio dial, if somebody could if you looked at their big four, if they averaged 15 points a game, some of them would have to, that would be a little bit of an overachievement compared to last year. But if Giannis, Jabari, Chris Middleton, and Greg Monroe all averaged 15 points per game, that's sensational, because that's 60 points, and you're still getting tons of input from Michael Carter-Williams, from the bench guys.
Jared Bayless. O.J. Mayo.
Yeah, I mean.
Rashad Vaughn,
we don't know at 19 years old
might
how much he can contribute.
Tonight.
You're absolutely
he
right. Yeah, so he's going to be a contributor right away.
Giannis is suspended, and people are hurt.
Jabari is still working
Our
his way
Bucks
back.
Our Bucks are already Bucksing this.
Yeah, they're already. That's the worry here, is that they get off to a slow start, and there starts to some panicking happens right away.
There's a program on the other day, and they were asking, what's your biggest fear for the Bucks season? My answer, and they didn't ask me, was regression.
Yeah.
That people were playing, again, Chris Middleton was playing in a contract year, and now he's going to regress. Giannis is proving to be just a flash, you know, and he's not going to keep progressing.
Oh,
he's
going to regress. Perish that thought.
I know. So my biggest fear is regression.
Yeah.
And you were talking about Monroe and defense. You know, maybe not a great rim protector. So that was kind of the thought, that the Bucks are a lengthy defensive team. Does that mean that this is the one place Monroe can come and succeed, because he doesn't need to be an amazing defensive presence? He just has to be okay, and then others will kind of pick it up? Or does it mean that this is a bad fit for him, you know, because he's going to be a liability, everybody else is going to be doing their job? So, I don't know. It remains to be seen.
I guess my biggest concern would be that Jabari Parker just never is right.
Yeah.
You know, torn ACLs, you don't know
how
he is
only
20 happen.
Years old,
right.
Which is nice.
But there are a lot of young guys whose careers have not been not been cut short, but definitely been lessened.
Maybe that's what happened with me. Maybe I tore like an ACL when I was like two.
I'm sure that's what happened.
And just, you know, I stopped growing and just never was good at sports.
I think you
actually, I was great in like third grade.
I think you have to be athletic to actually have problems with your knee joint.
I was athletic. I was great.
Oh, okay.
I was great.
Fine. Well, maybe that's it then. I'm glad we solved that huge mystery.
I was probably the best player on my teams until like third grade. Really? And then it went downhill. Then I think other people started trying, and then I didn't. I just played video
games. I was always the best player on my teams when I played imaginary basketball.
Yeah, you were
in the basement.
Literally never the best.
I had one really good run in rec league summer baseball. I batted cleanup.
Gross.
I hit a home run. It was one of the greatest moments of my life.
I was terrible at baseball.
Oh, I love baseball.
I was terrible at baseball. Speaking of my hockey exploits, my old head coach is back, by the way.
That's right. Carl Vallemond is back at Arrowhead. How about that? Did you woo him back?
I did not. I was not part of the recruitment efforts, but
I can't believe how much we've talked about JP just now. So the Bucks open up against the Knicks on Wednesday. They play the Wizards after that at home. I think that's a Saturday game.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Let's go with yes.
I personally am not as excited as I thought I would be to see them. I think there's just a lot of other things going on with playoff football.
And their schedule is really bad to start with. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of teams that missed the playoffs last year, and that's saying something in the Eastern Conference. So,
right.
So actually, you know, while Jabari is recovering and Giannis is out for this first game and Mayo is returning to health, the schedule might help them out. They could conceivably get off to a really good start.
And on the other half of that, if they get off to a poor start, and then they have to play real teams. I don't know.
Come on,
it's a very weird place to be with the Bucks. You're never thinking, well, they could. I mean, it's always, well, maybe they could make the playoffs. Well, now we're in a situation for the first time in years where the playoffs are a given. If they don't make the playoffs, it's a disaster. So most people think and assume they're going to go to the playoffs. So now it's like, how high can they go? Can they be a two seed? That's obviously a best case scenario, but I don't think it's unrealistic.
No.
So it's a very, they could go from two to six. We have no idea. It's
very
wide
range. Yeah,
we
could have a lot
range.
Of fun with a best case, worst case scenario
we
with
could.
Them, couldn't we?
We could.
That's not.
The Wisconsin Badgers, they play Rutgers this weekend. You will not
Whoever's
be
left.
In attendance.
No, I will not. Whoever is left on the field will be suiting up for them.
They're going to start pulling linemen from the student section, assuming the students are there on time to
Oh my
to
goodness,
play.
This is going
to
be terrible. It's Halloween.
Will anyone be there?
Against Rutgers
Oh my
at
goodness,
11
it's Halloween. I didn't even think of that.
Oh yeah.
There's no one is
going to
be there.
That is not going to be pretty.
Tell me, I want to talk about that. And this is off top, not a great topic for everybody, but what do you think about the students arriving late? Does that bother you?
I hate it with every fiber of my being.
Why does that
it's
upset
pathetic.
You so much?
Because there's absolutely no excuse, and the excuse that people try and feed me is such a crock of crap.
Which is?
That they're tailgating and that they party harder than anybody else.
Okay.
Which is such crap. That is coming from people who have never been to a different Big Ten stadium.
No, I agree with that.
It's from people who have gone to maybe a game at TCF Bank in Minnesota and be like, oh, we party harder than them. It's such crap. Go to Iowa City, go to Lincoln, Nebraska, go to East Lansing, go to Ann Arbor.
Piscataway, New Jersey?
Don't go to Piscataway, New
Don't
Jersey.
Don't do it. Don't
you
do
also
it.
Probably can't find it.
No,
go to State College,
You can only get there by airplane.
I mean, it's just ridiculous to say that you party so much harder than everybody else that you can't get to a game by the time kickoff happens. There is one valid reason that some students are late, and that is that the system that they have for seating students is archaic and stupid.
Okay.
That there's basically two gates for all of them to go in, and then the way that they do it is they basically like assign you a seat. Like you have to go into section O, and you have to single file go into that row. And
interesting.
And so if you want to sit with friends, you have to wait for them, and you have to go into the stadium together.
Oh, see, I didn't know any of that. So I feel like that's a really big deal. I mean, because okay, inherently,
it's a deal.
Wisconsin is not different from other Big Ten schools. Obviously, there's at all college campuses, there's morning drinking, there's partying, there's
enormous.
Tailgating. So what is it about Wisconsin fans that makes it more difficult for them to get to their seats on time? And I think what you're talking about is a big
it's
deal.
It's something. It's
okay.
Not – but, like, if you start leaving your tailgate at 11:05, you don't get to use that as an excuse. I mean, it's legitimately – the fact where the student section is not full at halftime.
Right.
Where, like, there are some people not leaving tailgate until noon.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, so that's interesting to me. I guess I've looked at it, and this somewhat falls under the same conversation as students storming the floor. There is such a need for us in the media or for adult fans to decide what the students are supposed to do. And I always think of it in sort of a grander term. Like, I don't care what the college kids do. It's their tickets. It's their campus. They should have the right to just live how they want to live. And if they don't want to support their team, fine. That's not my choice, but I don't care what they do. And I feel like there's this need to sort of project, well, it's inexcusable. Well, for what? That they don't go and cheer for their sports team? I mean, there's a lot of other things to do on campus. It's clearly not a chief priority. It's something to do on a Saturday morning. And okay, I don't feel badly for that. They can live their college lives however they want. If Wisconsin wants to shrink the student section, that would make a little sense to me, but whatever.
Okay, so a lot of talking points there.
Okay.
Okay.
Bullet points.
One, no, there aren't a lot of things to do on campus at Saturday at 11 a.m. I mean,
well, sit on your couch and sleep, because sure, once you have children, the sleep is over, kids.
Oh, it always goes back to our children, doesn't
it? Does it? Okay. Sleep forever.
So I'm not even going to get into the court storming thing. I don't want to tell, like, I don't want it to be where I'm telling students what to do. It's more of, it looks pathetic when there are pictures and video taken,
sure,
and there's just a bunch of gray bleachers. I mean, as somebody who's a photographer, I mean, I could have this beautiful shot of the entire student section full and cheering and the players running out. Instead, it's always the exact same thing. You have to be, you know, tight in on each player, because behind you there's 75 rows of empty bleachers.
Okay.
So that's so one part.
And students are making your pictures
no,
not pretty.
No, the players notice too.
Okay, okay.
I mean, the players notice and have called them out. The players say, we would love for it to be full. Brett Bielema said it all the time, and he got chastised for it. I mean, yeah, he got called out for calling out his students. I'm, it's a thing, and people don't have an answer for it. They just say, oh, that's the way it's always been. Derp.
Derp. That's,
and that's
a good word.
I mean, that's it. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's where, listen, if you need to shrink the student section, that's fine. That'll get them there early, won't it?
Yeah,
you know, if there's
I think
only
it would.
A certain amount of tickets.
Well, yeah, I think there's probably those students that aren't there at halftime. They don't really care if they get there or not. They're to go. So if you shrink the section, then those people aren't going to be upset. Oh, man, I guess we can't go to the football game today. I lose my right to be 40 minutes late to the game. So I don't – yeah, I could see them doing that, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. I just don't I don't like when media types, older, especially like really old dudes that have been around a while, start projecting how kids today should behave with sporting events. It's a total lack of perspective. Sporting events are not the center of the universe, even though they are very important to us.
The Diamondback selfie girls.
Yeah, which was a
That was awful.
Well, that was a terrible thing for people to jump on, because, it was an in-stadium promotion.
They were asking for them to be taken.
Right, and totally great response by the selfie girls, because they wound up, they were offered tickets by the Diamondbacks that they donated to a worthwhile charity. I mean, that's just a good example. You see something and you assume that there is that they're just out of touch.
Yeah.
But that may not be the case.
But it's like, God forbid somebody wants to enjoy a baseball game differently than you do.
Right. And here's another thing, and it doesn't necessarily speak to this particular thing, but, I mean, people today have less interest in going to stadiums in general because the quality of the television coverage and the Twitter coverage and everything else. When I go to a stadium, there's a chance I can't get on Twitter because there's a million cell phones in one place, 65,000 cell phones in the same place, fighting for the same towers. So pretty good chance I can't get on Twitter. Not that that's huge, because if I go to a game, I'm sitting with friends watching the action. But if somebody gets hurt, I have no idea what's going on. If there's a weird play or the officials are debating, not everything is explained to the fans. You don't get replays in every venue of every play. You have no idea what's happening if you're at the game. Now, it's obviously a social event. You go with friends, you drink, you watch the game, you cheer. That's fine. Once in a while, I would love to do that. But I would not be the person that goes to every game at the stadium if I could just sit there and watch it on TV.
Just get there on time, students. That's all I want. It doesn't look good. If you want
no,
Badger
it doesn't.
Pride,
it does not.
It
does
looks
not.
Very, very sad.
It does.
That's
yes.
all.
Okay. Very
all right.
Good.
This has been JP and JR complain about things.
Well, you complaining and me trying to find some sort of defense, but
there's none. I mean, if somebody has one, please let me know. If you want to detail the ticket process of why it takes so long, that's fine. But right now, as I know it from being there for 8 years, there's nothing. It's just sad.
I do know that you and I will be at Camp Randall Stadium in 3 or 4 weeks.
And this is and this is one other thing. Sorry. The other reason I get so upset is because the Wisconsin student section is so amazing.
Yeah, when
and
they're
that
on, right.
And that kills me to say because, as you know, I'm a Hawkeye fan. I enjoy.
I've heard this.
And I don't like saying that Badgers do things well.
I've heard this.
I acknowledge when they do. But the student section is so good when it's full. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. And to see it not full until halftime just kills me a little bit.
And this comes back to what Brett Bielema said, especially at the college level, they can't have an impact on things.
Yeah.
They can impact how the players feel. I mean, I don't know if that's tangible. I don't know if we'll ever know how much of an impact. But when nobody is there to cheer you on, you know that it's a little more difficult to keep an emotional level throughout four quarters of football.
Yep.
Although I still don't care what the college students do. They can live their lives.
But yes, we will be at Camp Randall in 3 weeks' time. My wife is not 37 weeks pregnant right now, so I will actually be there, unlike last year when I missed it all.
Yes.
So I am thrilled. I'm happy.
We will not be facing a full student section for the state football finals either, but there will be at least good football to watch.
Did we talk? I think we talked about that on a podcast last year, that I wish the state finals were moved to Whitewater or
absolutely.
Oshkosh.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Right, we'll bring
it's
that
not going to happen for a number of reasons, but
come
that
on.
Is an excellent idea. Perkins
I love
Stadium.
It.
So that's all we got. All right. About Time Warner Cable's Time Warner Sports Channel?
All right, our name literally name hasn't changed in like 3 years.
You're right, I
know. And the name of my show has not changed ever.
Okay, so what's on Sports? What's on Sports Weekly this week?
Sports
what was
Weekly?
It before it was Sports Weekly?
Sports 32 Weekly.
Oh, that's whatever.
And we just dropped the number.
Got it. What is on Sports Weekly this week?
A lot of things. Kadoran? A story on St. Francis running back Evander Kraft,
who's no longer in the play.
That was at halftime last week,
got
but
it.
I like to air it on Sports Weekly. DePere football, undefeated at 10-0. That was one of the most lighthearted, like easygoing practices I've ever been to.
Yeah.
They are fun. So
okay,
and
that's cool.
Well, their coach is 29 years old, Chad Michaelwitz.
Yes.
So he keeps it loose, which is fun, and they're undefeated. So if it works, go for it.
Evander Kraft, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, a very smart kid. Where is he going? Does he have a plan in place?
Does not have a plan as of now. He's visited some schools like Whitewater and Dakotas.
Gosh, I have to think that kid's going to be good on the next level. He is tough.
Yeah, man. I wonder, like, how coaches evaluate that film because he's so big. He's 6'2", 220, 200.
Yeah, something like that.
And he's so much bigger than everybody else on his team. So I assume they have to watch his game film and say, like, all right, is he creating, you know, is he hitting that whole fast, or is that hole just enormous and he's running through
it anyway? Yeah, that's a good point. Because
you know?
In the Midwest class,
but he's good. Yeah, he's very good. Led the state in rushing yards for 9 weeks.
Yeah, very good.
Evander Kraft, DePere football, and Alec Ingold feature now with the Badgers from Bayport.
Yeah, he's having a nice little run here.
I also went to the Bradley Center on Monday to take a tour of some renovated amenities and some new concession items. My God.
Really?
Oh. The food. Oh, the food.
And you know, there have been the fingerprints of the new ownership group has been all over this Bucks transition, but we haven't obviously seen the in-game stuff yet. But you have to think that's going to be glossed up a little bit, too.
Oh, the food. So they updated some of the courtside club and the, you know, some rich people areas.
Yes.
But the food that's available to everybody, my goodness. I mean, it's basically state fair in one building. It's incredible.
Awesome.
Like a jalapeno stuffed with ground beef on a pretzel bun and just amazingness.
That alone is going to get me to the Bradley
Center. And Sobelman's and everything. And the first thought was, why are they renovating the Bradley Center when they're just going to move in 2 years? But Peter Fagan said, he's like, no, people are coming here and spending a ton of money for a good night. We don't want to just, you know, have this be a lame duck
Here's
arena.
A warehouse. Yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh, so a fun little preview there as
well. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, well, of course, you can continue to follow the playoffs.
At mycommunitynow.com/push.
We got also lots of really good features this week, I think. We at Lake Country Now, we've got a story about Brandon Lloyd, formerly of Maguanago, who now plays for UW Oshkosh football, blocked the kick that snapped Whitewater's 36-game winning streak officially.
On Time Warner Cable Sports Channel Live.
Indeed. See how we work together. We have synergy, JP.
Synergy, buzzword.
So I talked to him. He's having a great year for Oshkosh, which is top five in the nation right now in Division III. We did a story. Rob Reichel wrote a story about Hamilton girls golf coach Randy Howard, who has had multiple cancer diagnoses and is battling back. He's in a really good place right now, so we did a story on that. And Chuck Delsman writes a farewell to Bob Sasanis, who was a great athlete at Oconomowoc and wound up as a teacher and head football coach for a long time at Kettle Moraine. So you can find all of that at lakecountrynow.com.
That's it.
That's it. We're
all right,
gone.
Go do things. Go live your life. Don't listen to us anymore. For next week.
Yes. We'll be back with you one more time next week and talk. Well, not one more time. Many more times.
Yeah. Like forever.
For
Bye, friends.
Thanks for listening.